This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigamon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. I think we found the new lead-in for our show. Clear the track. Here comes Shaq. I mean, that song gets me pumped all the time, Naz. I don't know why they don't play it at the Scotiabank Arena.
What a great tune.
Clear the track. Here comes Shaqy. You know what? That's what Leafs need, somebody on their team like Eddie Shaq. Just to let our listeners know this morning, obviously we're going to be doing a bit of a Leafs post-mortem. We've got, from the hockey news, our good friend Michael Tracos. Bottom end of the hour, we got from first up on TSN, Carlo Colaiacovo, and in between all of that, we're going to talk a little bit about Pete Rose being admitted back into baseball posthumously, and it's a great occasion to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the legend himself, the Bobcat, Bob McCowan. So, power-packed show, so let's get cracking on it right away. From the hockey news, our good friend Michael Tracos. Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning?
Hey, pretty good, guys. How you doing this morning?
Well, we're having a great time strumming Clear the Track, Here Comes Shaq. So I don't know if that's a little bit before your time, Michael, but for Naz and I, that was pretty popular in the mid-60s.
No, you know, it obviously is before my time, but I've heard that one a number of times. My good friend and former colleague, Mike Zeisberger, you know, he would always hum that one at the games, too, so... Yeah, they don't make, you know, they need to have some songs like that for the current Leafs these days.
Maybe they got to dream one up. Anyways, Michael, when we were on the show last Sunday morning, we were doing predictions about what was going to happen in last Sunday night's game. I think the only guy who got the prediction right, Naz, was Lou, and Lou's not with us this morning. You and I both had the Leafs winning last Sunday night, and we spent the whole week trying to solve the Leafs' problems. The debates have been constant on social media, on everywhere, and I figured out the solution to the Leafs' problems, guys, tongue-in-cheek, very simply. I went to watch Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise last night. It's a fantastic movie, by the way. They got to bring Tom Cruise in. There's no other way. It's Mission Impossible. The Final Reckoning, guys. Great movie. Tom Cruise, the ultimate entertainer, and tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But let's get into it, Michael. We didn't get the result we liked, and now we're into trying to decide what Brad Tree Living needs to do, and Brendan Shanahan, and we'll chat about him as well, isn't going to be part of that, and the Panthers are, you know, dusting off the Carolina Hurricanes pretty easily. What's your assessment? It would seem to me until this playoff run is over and the Panthers run through and Edmonton runs through and Dallas Stars are, by some miracle, Carolina comes back, which that would be a miracle from what I'm seeing. Where's your sense of where the Leafs are in terms of their plans? Because what I'm seeing is a team that wasn't that far off, Michael. And maybe the talk of shipping Marner out of town or letting him leave would perhaps be a better way of expressing it. Maybe that might be premature.
Yeah, it feels like we do this every year. The Leafs lose in a game 7, or they lose earlier than they should, and everyone gets emotional, and time to blow it up, time to get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy, and then the team they lose to wins the Stanley Cup, and then you go, you know what, in hindsight, maybe they were closer than they were, and, you know, we just see a smaller move, and I wonder if that's the case this year, is, you know, Brendan Shanahan going out the door, if he becomes what people are saying is the scapegoat for you know, what it was, another disappointing season. And, you know, there's some probably truth to that because, you know, you lose Marner and I don't know how you get better. And it's the sad truth is, you know, you take Marner off this team and I don't care if you get a couple guys in free agency or whatever happens with that money that you were normally going to pay him. You know, there's not a scenario in my mind where the Leafs take a step forward. You know, maybe if you get Sam Bennett in free agency, maybe if you get like a Marchand as well, or maybe an Aaron Eckhart lad. But, you know, it's a very dangerous situation if you have to lose Marner for nothing. Like, if you could trade him for something, I think that's a different discussion. But, you know, you mentioned you guys were spending the week as to what happens next. You know, that's, you know, the Leafs are going to spend more than just a week deciding, you know, what the next move is. And it's not an easy move. Like, I don't envy the position that Brad Tree Living is in.
Is there a chance Marner stays, Michael?
I think there's a very good chance Marner stays. I think there's a chance Marner stays and another guy gets moved, to be honest, guys. I think all things are on the table now. And if I'm Brad Tree Living, I'm considering trades for, and you may want to shoot me down here, but I would consider a trade for Matthew Nyes. I would consider a trade for William Nylander. Heck, I would even explore trade options for Austin Matthews because, you know, I just want to see what's on the table. And I think something has to be done. You know, is it a major earth-shattering decision, like I just said? Like, would you consider trading a Nylander or a Nyes or a Matthews even and keeping a Marner? Would you consider, you know, leaving Marner and, you know, going hard after a Sam Bennett? But, you know, to my end, I think everything's on the table, including rolling it back again.
You know, certainly, you know, if you're a general manager, everything always has to be on the table. You know, so meaning, you know, you look through history in professional sports and some of the greatest players of all time have been traded. You know, it depends what you get back in return. And now you got to factor in money. So I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. Tree Living's got to look at every single option. And that's the ultimate goal has to be what's for the betterment of the team. You know, we're already into this debate, especially since you know, the Florida Panthers seem to be manhandling what everybody considered to be a really good Carolina team, and you know, the Leafs took them to Game 7. You know, we walked away from that Panthers series saying, you know what, the Leafs are you know, nowhere near, but I'm not so sure you can say that anymore. What's your sense of how far? I mean, it's a question that we debate at, as you said, at this time every year. How far away are the Leafs really?
Yeah, I don't think they're that far away. At the same time, they're still a ways away. Like, there's a difference between, you know, losing in Game 7 in the second round to, you know, it's not like, okay, had they won Game 7, you know, you're looking at Toronto now up 3-0 against Carolina and, you know, potentially 5 wins away from the Stanley Cup. I don't know if that's how close they are because, you know, we haven't seen them in the conference final. Yeah. You know, that Florida team is battle-tested. It's a team that not only won the Cup last year but went to the final the year before, and you look at their roster and you look at what Toronto had, and, you know, there's a reason why Toronto looked so different in Game 5 than Game 6. They looked different. In Game 7, they looked different. Like, is that a cultural thing? Is that something between the years? Because on paper, it's a good roster, but I think they're still missing some sort of killer instinct element in the dressing room where, you know, you need guys to show up in Game 7. And why didn't they show up? And, you know, is it a matter of just flipping a switch and learning from that? Or is it something that they just don't have the pieces in the room that, you know, when we talked about old Leafs like Doug Gilmour, Wendell Clark, you never questioned if they were going to come up and show up in a Game 7. That wasn't even a thought process. Whereas these teams that we're watching right now, you know, there's that doubt. You know, going into Game 7, I wasn't sure if they were going to show up again. And, you know, lo and behold, the team didn't show up. So that's got to get addressed. And I don't know how you address that because you mentioned Mission Impossible. And I think that's been, you know, what Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and now Brad Tree Living have been trying to figure out for the last, decade now is, why aren't Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Riley able to win a Stanley Cup or even to go far? Like, on paper, this is a good team, but why can't they put it together? And I don't even have the answer for that. And I think it's a matter of, trying to get a Bennett, trying to get a Tkachuk, trying to get that element to the dressing room. Because I think if you look at all the pieces, that's really what they're missing, is that sort of heart and soul player.
Is the playoff spot in jeopardy next year if they lose Marner?
100% it is. 100%. Especially if Matthews is always going to be missing time, guys. Now, you got to remember, when Matthews went out, guys were able to kind of carry that load. Who carries the load if Matthews is gone and Marner is gone?
And then you've got, it has an impact, obviously, on Austin Matthews as well. I mean, here's the top goal scorer in the league, and he's losing his setup man, for lack of a better term. So, the ramifications are not just about, and you're losing a player who kills penalties, losing a player who can play on defense in a pinch. He's also a defensive player. We've talked about his playoff shortcomings ad nauseum. My sense is he's not replaceable. He hasn't taken us to the promised land in the playoffs. But to suggest that, he just walks away and there's no effects from that, I think is somewhat naive. There aren't that many 100-point players in the league, and, he doesn't get 100 points every year, but he's knocking on the door every year. So that's a real tough one, and you get nothing for him. But you got to spend a lot of money, too. Like you said, I wouldn't want to be in Brad Treliving's got some real tough decisions. And he's also got to butt heads with the fact that Marner's and his agent, I think it's Darren Ferris, if I'm not mistaken, I may be mistaken, they probably are not too happy about how things transpired in Toronto this year, and especially that attempted trade with Carolina. So Marner may not be overly motivated to want to stay, Michael.
Yeah, that's the thing that people aren't really talking about. It's not maybe so much if Brad Treliving wants Marner back, is does Marner want to be back? And yeah, I'm kind of with you. You hear the rumblings now that, this year was a little different, and losing is starting to wear on him. And I think there were a lot of reports there where, he's now got a young family, and, he's starting to feel a lot of the criticism, not just, when he opens up his computer and is reading some stories that are being written about him. It's, he's walking around town and people are letting him know. And that's kind of a scary thought is, do you want to be the most well-known sports figure in a town that's just had it with the Toronto Maple Leafs, or, thinks that he isn't showing up in the playoffs? Like, it's a great place to play when things are going well. When things aren't going well, does he now have to, put on the disguise to go outside because he's worried about what might be said about him? So, if that's the scenario, then, that it becomes an easier decision, I guess, for Brad Treliving is, Marner is going to be gone out the door, and now you just got to get aggressive. The only thing is, this year is not the greatest year for free agency.
No, it's not.
A year from now, we'll see who actually becomes available, but there's, it looks like it's going to be a star-studded options there for free agents. Right now, it's, you've got obviously Marner and Tavares, but outside of that, you have Bennett, you have Marchand, you have Brock Besser, Nikolai Ehlers, guys like that. Nothing really, earth-shattering. And I would argue that Bennett's probably going to get overpaid because of who's else is out there, and because he might end up winning a second cup, and people are looking at that going, oh boy, if we only had that on our roster. So maybe Bennett gets something like $10 million, whereas in a normal year, he's probably not getting anything close to 8 or 9 million.
Yeah, think about that. A guy who's never scored more than 50 points, or 50, I think his highest is 50, 51 points, is going to be pushing $10 million.
It almost reminds me of the David Clarkson year when
don't
he was
go.
Available.
Oh, no, 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 no. Let's not go there, Michael. Let's not go
there. Yeah, but there's a, there is a, you know, there should be a warning sign on some of those guys because they play a hard-nosed style.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does wear on your body. Like we just, you know, I mentioned Wendell Clark.
Yeah.
How many years did he have where he spent the whole year playing, you know, without being hurt or anything? And, you know, it's a tough style to play. So if you give Bennett 8 years or 7 years and you, you know, invest like $9 or $10 million in him, you know, chances are at the end of that contract,
you're going to
be missing a lot of time.
Yeah, you're not, not only that, you're not going to, you know. Anyways, I'll turn over to Naz. Go ahead.
Can anyone?
to disappoint you.
No, no, you're not disappointing me. It's I think if they sign Bennett like for anything close to $10 million for that kind of term, they're going to regret that somewhere down the. Mind you, there might be a Stanley Cup in between to soften the blow, but.
That's what they said about David Clark. We're worried about year five, not year seven.
Yeah.
Anyways,
should be you know, the Sam Bennett negotiation should be fascinating to see what kind, because this guy, you know, let's be honest. I mean, he, you know, pretty tough for Florida to win a cup without him, or he's an integral part of winning. They haven't won this year, but, you know, they won last year, and they're going to look like they're going to compete for one this year. And they did a couple of years ago, three straight years. Well, you know what? Let's not count Carolina out just yet. They just, you know, the fourth game's always the toughest. But I've seen nothing that would suggest Florida's not going to win that series. But that'd be an interesting negotiation for Sam Bennett. Naz?
Michael, can anyone beat the Panthers?
Thanks for that, Naz.
I look at it. Edmonton Oilers. Goaltending is suspect. I mean, Bobrovsky's played great. How do you beat that team?
Yeah, you got two guys in Edmonton that, you know, I'll never count out, it feels like. Because, you know, would I have expected Edmonton to shut out the Dallas Stars in game two, especially with how Stuart Skinner's been playing? No. And, you know, this team kind of is surprising me now, this Edmonton Oilers team, because, you know, for years we know they have the offense, but now it seems like they can play the game that Craig Berube's been trying to get the Toronto Maple Leafs to play, which is, you know, lock things down and play defense. And they've done it. You know, they did it against the Kings at the end of that series. They did it against the Golden Knights. And now we're seeing it against a high-powered team like Dallas. So, you know, maybe Edmonton can do it. You know, they got close, obviously. They made it to Game 7 last year. And, you know, that is close. Like, forget about going to Game 7 against Florida in the second round like the Toronto Maple Leafs did. It's totally different when you go there in the Stanley Cup Final and Edmonton was one game away. And, you know, the way that McDavid had turned things on and is capable of turning things on, you know, he can be your Tom Cruise there, guys. Like, he can, you know, make it Mission Impossible because he's so really, so good at this game.
Michael, there's coming out of the interviews after the Leafs lost to the Panthers, there's something that I found striking. Aside from Mitch Marner swearing at his teammates, that didn't go. You didn't see it during the game, but you certainly saw it afterwards. And then you saw Austin Matthews, the captain of the team, referencing, not by name, but generally, some of his teammates being passengers. I found that quite striking, to be honest with you. I personally, to be honest with you, didn't find it appropriate. If he had some issues with any of his teammates, perhaps he should have addressed that behind closed doors. Not so sure that's what you want your captain saying publicly. You want your captain saying that in the dressing room, no question. Being fierce and vocal in the dressing room, I got no problems with. But in front of a microphone, what'd you think of that, Michael?
I didn't like it. You know, that's not why you were in the captain, is to push the blame on others and call other people passengers. You know, look in the mirror, you know, say, I need to be better. Say, you know, I'm wearing the C for the reason. I'm the most, you know, I'm the highest paid player on this team and in the NHL for a reason. You know, forget about passing the buck. And same thing with Marner. He's telling everyone to wake up. You know, I thought it was hilarious how tone deaf and just, you know, out of touch both of these guys are. And that's the thing. Like, I don't think I'd ever hear John Tavares calling his teammates passengers or telling them to wake up. He would. That's the thing with John Tavares. I guess he's a bad example because he doesn't say anything. But if he isn't going to say anything, it's always probably to himself. So, I didn't like it. You know, I think that's, you know, just another sign of, you know, if you're looking why the Leafs haven't made that jump, you know, there's exhibit A and B right there for me.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bob.
Brendan Shanahan's no longer with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's taken a lot of criticism over the years. I would suggest some of it justified. Some mistakes made along the way that, you know, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. But there's one area I thought he did well in. It's always been an important part of this show. I always thought he connected well with the alumni and the previous generations. He inherited a mess, let's be honest. Leafs hadn't been to the playoffs for who knows how many years. And we got some real success during the regular season. He leaves town. Conducted himself with professionalism. How will history treat Brendan Shanahan, Michael?
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to really appreciate what he actually did to this franchise. Because I've been here, and you guys have been here for a long time. And, you know, we saw what the Leafs looked like before Shanahan got here. And it was ugly. It was Phil Kessel. It was Joffrey Leupold. It was Dion Phaneuf. It was guys getting shutted off to Robidoux Island. It was a lot of prima donnas who couldn't even make the playoffs. And, you know, maybe you go, okay, now we got a lot of prima donnas who make the playoffs. What's the big deal? What's changed? But, you know, Brendan Shanahan is the guy who brought in Lou Lamoriello, and Lou Lamoriello finally brought in a culture into this dressing room and a professionalism. And Lou Lamoriello then brought in Mike Babcock. And, you know, you had the pieces there. And I would argue, and I've argued this already, is that, you know, Brendan Shanahan did his job. It felt like, you know, he came in here with a Shanahan plan, which was to finally, you know, do a proper rebuild. And they said that, you know, Toronto fans wouldn't accept, losing and a rebuild and actually tanking. And Shanahan finally convinced the board to do that. And, you know, they ended up with Nylander, then they ended up with Marner, and then finally with Austin Matthews, with the number one overall pick. And like I said, he built the organization around those three players. And, you know, in theory, it should have worked. In my mind, it was up to the players to get it done. And I think if there was one failure, and I like John Tavares, I like what he's brought here, but I think they just, you know, and this is maybe Brendan Shanahan, this is probably Kyle Dubas, but I think they just jumped a little too early. And, you know, signing John Tavares, thinking that the salary cap was going to go up and thinking that, you know, this team was ready for that, I think that was the one failure. Because if you look at, you know, the teams and how they lost, you know, they could have used an extra defenseman. They could have used maybe a better goalie. They could have used that money that they spent on Tavares for something else. And really that contract kind of set the chain reaction of, okay, everyone wanted a little bit more than Tavares. And then, you know, I think that's why the salaries have ballooned out of control like they have.
Yes, real quickly.
Is Shanahan a good fit in New York since he's living there, Mike?
For which team are we talking?
The Islanders.
I would have liked to see him in Buffalo, to be honest.
Here's an interesting. Didn't think about that. I think he'd be perfect there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's exactly what I think Buffalo needs. You know, they've got Kevin Adams, who, you know, by all counts, I actually think some of the moves that he's made have worked out well for the Buffalo Sabres, but I still think they need a little bit more of a senior level exec to kind of have his hands on the steering wheel as well. And I think Shanahan would be perfect, especially for that fan base. You know, the Sabres are kind of where the Leafs were roughly 15 years ago.
Michael, we're going to thank you. We've got to move on to the next segment of the show. It's always a distinct pleasure. Not so sure we've solved all the Leafs' problems, but we don't get paid. Thankfully, we don't get paid for that. Somebody else gets paid for that. So good luck to Brad Treliving. Well, certainly as time goes on between now and as the summer progresses, he's welcome to listen to all of our advice. But I'm sure he's got his own plans. Michael, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, guys. It should be a fascinating summer. So, yeah, let me know if I can ever jump on again. And we'll,
absolutely.
We'll go through everything.
It always is. It always is fascinating. Thanks so much, Michael. Have a great day.
Talk to you, though.
Michael Trakos of the Hockey News. Anyways, we're going to take it to break. We're going to be back with the Bobcat, Naz. Bob McCowan. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni.
You guys will love this New York-style cup and char pepperoni pizza so much, it'll bring out your inner New Yorker. Hey, same to you, buddy!
Call Pizzaville at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Ink turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Ink trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Ink's headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show, from one superfan to another.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on Zoomer Radio, also live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased and thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the legend himself, the Bobcat, Bob McCowan. Bob, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us, Bob. Want to catch up with you a little bit. How are you doing health-wise? How are you dealing with your challenges?
Well, about the same, I guess. It's been a long road, and you do the best you can.
Well, I'll just express on my behalf, on Naz's behalf, and on behalf of all of our listeners, certainly our thoughts are with you at all times, and we wish you all the best.
Well, thanks.
I wanted to chat this morning about Pete Rose, a controversial figure, obviously, has been admitted back into baseball, passed away. This is a nomination back in baseball. He was declared permanently ineligible, I believe, by Bart Giamatti back in early 90s for his gambling on Major League Baseball. Passed away, and then a few months later, he's put back into baseball and is probably going to be on a Hall of Fame ballot at some point. He's not back in the Hall of Fame yet. He still has to be voted on that. It's aroused a lot of opinions, Bob. This is one that you can literally argue both sides of it, depending on what how you feel. There's no question he broke the rules. There's no question he thumbed his nose at baseball in a lot of times. There's no question he may not have been the best person in a lot of different ways. There is a character clause in Major League Baseball. He seems not to fit that, but that's a slippery slope. Your sense that when this happened, Bob, putting Pete Rose back into baseball, number one, too little too late? Should they have done it? Should they have done it while he was still alive?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, then you and I may be on the same side of this thing, so I'll ask you to explain your whole opinion on the whole Pete Rose, how the whole thing was handled, and you know, you've obviously said he should have been put back into baseball earlier, so please share with us how you come to that conclusion.
Well, baseball's position with regard to gambling has changed dramatically over the years. We all know that. When Pete was indicted in the gambling scenario, baseball had an anti-gambling philosophy. And I understand that. It probably made sense. But the one thing that the commission failed to unveil was that Pete ever bet against his own team. And I think that was the real issue for me. Well, I know it was. Pete certainly gambled. But according to every record, the bets that he made were either on other teams or on his own team. And I submitted years ago that every game that Major League Baseball plays, the players, the owners, the manager, everybody involved effectively bets on their own team to win. Whether it's with money, whether it's gambling, or whether it's just playing the game itself. And that's what Pete did. So I don't think that the rule was the right one in baseball. However, it existed. So Pete was to pay a penalty. And I submit that was probably fair, but to ban him for life from the Hall of Fame was ridiculous. And the only reason baseball turned its head and changed its viewpoint was because they are in business now with all the gambling sites and entities. They have multi-million dollar deals with those people.
Go ahead.
Well, no, and to keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame would be against their relationship with those companies.
Yes. Go ahead, Ness.
They've cleared the way for Shoeless Joe Jackson to go in there too, Bob. I want to discuss Bonds and Clements. They should be in the Hall of Fame themselves. And how do they get them back in there?
Well, why should they be in?
Because of what they did in the sport. They were dominant.
They did it on drugs. Yeah, would they have accomplished what they did without drugs?
That's $1 million question or $1 billion question. I think it's fair. A lot of people have differing opinions on that as well. I sort of feel, you know, it's difficult to assess the quality of their records and their performances. What would they have been able to do without the drugs?
Well,
in Clemens and Bond's case, they were probably Hall of Fame players irrespective, but it's such a slippery slope. It's a really tough one. And the thing about the Pete Rose thing, there's no question in my mind he should have been banned from baseball at the time. But when is enough enough? I mean, I get the part that, you know, the rule says you're permanently ineligible. I get that part. But there is this quality called mercy. and you know, and at some point in time, you just say, okay, maybe 25 years is enough, because there's no question whatsoever that his performance on the field was Hall of Fame worthy. He's a first time Hall of based on performance, first ballot Hall of Famer, 100% probably votes. Like, you know, 4,200 hits or however many he had. And then, okay, you keep him out. And then the world changed, Bob, as you said. The world changed. You know, the hypocrisy of Major League Sports nowadays is like they're making a fortune off the gambling companies, but you want to penalize your players forever, for their entire lives. I'm not seeing the rationality of the logic of that argument.
Baseball did not do anything with Pete Rose until after he died. And that is something to be considered. They did not want Pete Rose to be alive to be able to say anything negative about baseball.
And maybe you can expound more on this than I can, Bob. A lot of it came down to Pete Rose really never accepted the consequences of his actions. He never apologized. He tended to thumb his nose at Major League Baseball whenever he could. He showed up at a Hall of Fame ceremony, you know, hawking books, you know, releasing his book the same day. He just... You know, for lack of a better term, he didn't go out of his way to make any friends.
Well, he was not a good guy. I met Pete Rose.
Yep.
I thought, pardon my French, but I thought he was an asshole. However, was he worthy of being on the ballot? And the answer, in my opinion, is always yes. Let the people who vote every player in, let them decide whether what Pete did was worthy of being in the Hall of Fame or not.
But do you draw a distinction, Bob, between allowing him back into baseball, because he can't be on the Hall of Fame ballot unless he's.
I understand that. Yep.
So you're saying both. He should have been put back in baseball, and he should have been put on the ballot. Let the voters decide. I mean, I've scoured, you know, social media the entire week. I've scoured the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Athletic, all the former players who have made comments on this. There's a serious division. There are a lot of people that are against Pete Rose going back into the baseball because of the character issues. But I'm sensing most of public opinion in most of the former players of his era are come down on the side of, you know, enough's enough. He paid his time. It's time to put him in.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's a ridiculous argument. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, did they cheat? Yes or no?
They did. Of course they did.
Were they allowed to be on the ballot?
No.
Yes, they were.
Are they on the ballot? Oh, yeah, you're right. They're not voting for them. You make a really good point, Bob. So they should have let.
They were allowed to be on the ballot.
Correct. You're correct. Needed. Yes.
Why wasn't Pete Rose allowed to be on the ballot?
That's a fair point. Never thought of it that way. Have Clemens and Bonds been banned from baseball?
No.
No. I guess that's a distinction.
Well, then why aren't they?
If they took PEDs, performance enhancing drugs, why weren't they banned from baseball? Because they would have had to ban a lot of people.
They cheated, did they not?
Well, not just them, but of course they did. I mean, it was against the rules. So
did Pete Rose cheat?
No, not in a game. It's never been proven. And anybody ever watched Pete Rose play, that would be, you know, I mean.
Wouldn't you?
No, he played to win. I mean, the one enduring image I have of Pete Rose, is when he took out Bob Fosse, the catcher.
Ray Fosse.
He took out Ray Fosse in an all-star game because this guy would have done anything to win a game. Pete Rose losing was not part of his DNA. That wasn't who he was. He was a bad person, but I can't. He's never been. Nobody's ever proven that he ever bet against his own team.
Nope. So there's the answer, in my opinion. Let him get voted. Either let the voters decide. They decide on everybody else. Why would they be allowed to decide up heroes?
Go ahead. No. Well, I think they're going to get that decision. I think he's going on the ballot, the Veterans Committee.
Too late.
Yeah, it's too late. I agree. It should have been done while he was still alive. And, you know, it was, I guess they were sort of saying to him, you know, you're a bad guy.
Of what he would do or say.
Yeah, he was always unrepentant. Unrepentant. If he had just, and it was, I guess it wasn't part of his DNA or his nature, as you say, Bob.
I don't know whether they would have allowed him in or not.
I think if he had apologized and admitted it,
you do not know that.
No, I don't know that, but we're speculating. Who knows? But if he had of, you know, I mean, I think there's blame to go around on all sides, right? And ultimately, it was the fans. You know, I mean, it's the fans. It's supposed to be a Hall of Fame for the fans, and they could have put him in. They could have done a plaque. They could have put on the plaque all the, you know, the stuff about being suspended from baseball and all that, if they wanted to send a message to young people to say he's in the Hall of Fame based on his statistics, but he wasn't a perfect person, and he wasn't a role model for your personal lives. There are numerous ways they could have done this.
Ty Cobb allegedly killed somebody.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go, this is the slippery slope, and it's the other interesting thing going through this morning, O.J. Simpson is still in the Football Hall of Fame.
And still on the wall in Buffalo.
And still, you know, so it's, you know, when you start getting into morality of players, when you start getting into behaviors and all of that, it's a really slippery slope if you're going to start judging people based on their personal lives and what's public and what's not public. That's a real slippery slope, but you know, baseball does have different rules though. They're Hall of Fames and their eligibility to be part of Major League Baseball. They do have clear rules that some of the other professional sports do not have. And, you know, Pete Rose, you know, he broke them, you know, but I thought he spent enough time. I thought he paid his price, and I agree with you, Bob. Could have been handled better. Listen, Bob, we've got to run. As you recall, we always use it. Time is our enemy, my friend. So we got to move on to this next segment. It's been a great discussion. We're great and thrilled to hear your voice. We're great to share sports stories with you. I'm sure our listeners are thrilled also to hear you this morning as well, and we thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Bob McCowan, the legend, the Bobcat. Naz, we're going to take it to break. We sandwiched Pete Rose in our Leafs postmortem, so we'll be right back with Carlo Colaiacovo.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the New York style cup and char pepperoni pizza. Start spreading the news. It comes with our signature thin crust, mozzarella and parmesan cheese, and our new cup and char pepperoni. You'll be king of the hill, A number one. Call Pizzaville for the New York style cup and char pepperoni pizza at 736-3636.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Ink turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? Check out the Mint Ink trading cards and live experience in Vaughan. At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Ink's headquarters is where you, the collector, can meet your heroes. Open 7 days a week. Details at mintink.ca.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. Also live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. Naz, I was listening to that. It was Kim, the voice of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, says, are we ever wrong? Well, we were wrong last Sunday night, Naz.
Yes, we were.
We had picked the Leafs. Listen, we're thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, co-host of TSN's Wake Up and First Up in every morning from Monday to Friday, Carlo Koliakovo. Good morning, Carlo. How are you this morning?
Well, boys, this is the first time I've seen the sun out at this time in the morning all week, so it's a good morning.
Sort of ruined my golf game a bit yesterday. It was a little bit chilly, so...
Yeah, was it ever.
Hey, Carlo, I got to ask you. Okay, so last Sunday night was not the result that we wanted, so tell us, what was Wake Up Woodbridge like Monday morning?
Well, we didn't have a show Monday.
Tuesday morning, yeah.
Because of the holiday. Which was a surprise choice in itself, but clearly it was one of the best segments that we've had all year. You know, in the second round, we actually opened up the phone lines for the full hour every time we did it, and it was pretty awesome, you know, to get the... To get the fans or at least our audience that are engaged with us daily coming on, voicing their opinions, voicing their displeasures, voicing their anger. And Tuesday morning, I mean, we could have had the phone open for hours in the morning. It felt like we were turning a lot of people away, but clearly there's a sense of, you know, anger and extreme frustration with this group considering they went out a similar way again in Game 7.
Denmark 2, Canada 1.
Okay.
Your thoughts? You were covering the game, so.
Yeah.
What the heck is that all about?
Shocking for sure. You know, coming into this tournament, when Canada put together that roster, you kind of felt like, you know, why they even play in the tournament? Canada's going to walk away from it. But I get reminded year after year with the World Hockey Championships that it truly is one of the best international hockey tournaments that exists, because in this tournament, you have these type of upsets. It's, you know, there's teams that are playing there that have a group of players that have played together for the majority of the season. So there is that chemistry with them. Obviously, home ice plays a huge factor over there for some of these smaller countries. And, you know, Denmark being Canada, I don't think anybody could have, you know, predicted that no matter where the game was played. But, you know, it's a tournament where if you don't show up and play your best, and you have a country that just plays their best game in one of the games of their lives, they have a chance to win. And that's unfortunately what happened with Canada. I mean, winning their division and having to travel to Denmark to play Denmark because they were one of the host teams, I think rattled them a little bit. And you could clearly tell it showed with the way that they played. But still, hard to comprehend that a team, I think that was one of the best rosters that Canada has ever assembled at a World Hockey Championships, for them to lose to Denmark and then, you know, watch Switzerland, you know, take care of Denmark yesterday and punch their ticket to the gold medal. Extremely disappointing result for Canada.
Especially,
hard to explain.
Especially when two goals in the last minute and a half or whatever it was.
Yeah, and then, especially in a team with Sidney Crosby on it, who historically
doesn't lose. Hey, listen, Carlo, Naz, your memory's probably better than me. Didn't Canada lose to Italy one year at the World Championships?
They tied
Italy. And half the Italian players were playing Tier 2 Junior A in Toronto at the time. I think Bob Mano, wasn't Bob Mano on that team, if I'm not mistaken?
Could have been.
Sure, but think about the year it's been for Canada internationally. I mean, aside from the four nations where there were only four teams, Canada loses in the quarters at the World Hockey, at the World Juniors, and then Canada loses the quarters at the World Hockey Championships. Not a great look for the program, that's for sure.
Well, we'll see what happens in the Olympics next year. So look forward to it. Carlo, we have this, we get listeners that send us emails every now and then asking questions. And we got an email from Melinda L., which I thought was a good one, which was sort of talked about around town this week. It says, with so much talk about internal, external pressure and the Leafs' loss, what's our take on that? The whole issue of too much pressure being on the, and I know you had a reaction to that. So, when athletes suggest that they're under too much pressure, I heard the other cliche, pressure is a privilege. But what is there something about the Toronto market that's uniquely different about any other market? Or you know what, if you're getting paid a lot of money, man. You know, pressure should be bettering your performance, not lessening it.
Well, this is the biggest bunch of BS I've ever heard. Somebody try to use an excuse as to why that you can't win in this market. Toronto's the best sports market, or at least hockey market in the world, I think. And pressure comes with expectations. And when you don't meet with those expectations, you know, people are going to give you the criticism. And the thing about Toronto is there is a hunger for success here, because it's been a long time since this franchise has experienced success. And the fact that the fans still come back year after year with the hope and belief that this year will be different. This team always gives us release over the last 5 years has always given the fans reason to believe that each year will be different. And frustrating about it, and maybe the pressure is something that the players create, because they lose the same way every year. And because of that, the pressure on the players to not want to replicate that same failure is what gets to them. It's not the pressure of the fans. It's not the pressure of the market. I was in that building for Game 7 against the Florida Panthers. I'm not sure if you guys were.
I was there.
There was no pressure from the fans. There was belief in this group. That was the loudest I've ever heard the Scotiabank Arena.
Ever.
Yeah. And so don't give me this BS that the fans and the media puts too much pressure on this team. I work in the media. You guys work in the media. Every story, every narrative, every take we create about this team is all about positivity, because everybody wants to see this team win. So we are reactive. We aren't proactive with our takes and with our assessment with this group. If you're an athlete and you pride yourself on being competitive, you want to play in markets like this because people care and people show up, and people live and die. People compliment you. People idolize you if you play in this market. So you could have pressure is something that's is available in every sport, in every profession. It's pressure is something that is built through expectations, and when you don't meet them like the Maple Leafs do, you gotta expect what comes with it. And clearly this is a group that has had a hard time dealing with that.
Carlo, are the Leafs interested in Marner still?
I think they have to be. Look, and I don't buy into this narrative of, it's all Marner's fault. He's the reason and stuff like that. Look, I'm not sitting here and defending him. He's an unbelievable hockey player. He's got a resume of unbelievable success. granted regular season success. I'm disappointed that Mitch Marner can't be the playoff player that everybody wants him to be the same way he is a regular season player. But, you know, I'm not in, like, I'm all for change, however that comes. But I'm not here, I will not support losing a star player like that for nothing. Because here's the way I look at it. The Maple Leafs the last 6 years have had to play through Tampa and through Florida. Both teams have played in the Stanley Cup Finals over the last 2 years. Look how strong the Atlantic Division has been over the last 7 years, because you add Boston on the tail end of that, that has been to the Stanley Cup Finals. So you lose Game 7 to Florida, however the way they lose it. And yes, don't get me wrong, I'm not here supporting the way that they lost, because it was embarrassing the way that they lost. But they still lost in Game 7. They took the Florida Panther team to seven games. They won three games. No team has even come close to doing that yet. So if you lose a player like Marner for nothing, how much closer are you to getting where you want to be? So if you're going to lose a player like Marner, especially for everything you've invested in this guy over the last couple of years, you've invested money, you've invested cap space, you've invested assets. And now you look at the next 3 years and their draft capital, they don't have much because they still invested more into these guys their last trade deadline. If you lose him for nothing, how are you replacing what he brings to at least get you into the playoffs? So, you know, should we, you know, everybody has their, you know, their takes and their thoughts and their let their emotions, you know, reflect how they feel. Sometimes you need to take a step back and say, okay, Boston's going through a rebuild. Tampa's going through a retool. At some point, this Florida run has to end because guys break down. It happens. LA happened to LA, it happened to Chicago, it happened to Tampa. So maybe the window for the Maple Leafs is finally opening up. And, you know, maybe they just won the division. Maybe you do take another chance with these group of players and see what it takes from there. But at least if it doesn't work and you have these guys locked up and then you want to move on for them, at least you get something back for them. So I just don't know how much better you are as an organization if you just replace these guys, losing them, if you don't replace these guys and lose them for nothing. So I always, you know, for the last week, I've been saying, be careful what you wish for, Leaf fans, because Toronto isn't a top destination for all these top players to want to come play. And it's hard to find top players in the game. When you find them, you got to find a way to keep them versus losing them for nothing. So they're in a very challenging spot. But I think the Leafs, my belief is that Marner is going to test free agency, but the Leafs should still try to find a way to bring him back.
Are we in jeopardy of missing the playoffs with this move here? Parallel?
It's hard to say, but you're not, I mean, you've guaranteed yourself a chance to make the playoffs the last 9 years with him in the lineup, right? So if you lose them, I mean, did the New York Rangers expect to miss the playoffs this year? I mean, that was a team coming into the season everybody thought was a Stanley Cup contender. And look at the big trades they made. Like, they traded their captain in the middle of the season. And they thought they were going to be better for him. They signed their goalie to an 8-year contract, thought that they had it all figured out. Now they fired their coach. Like, you know, nothing's guaranteed year after year. You know, I guess it's, I can have a better answer for that when I see what their roster looks like. But right now, if you lose a guy like Marner and Tavares for nothing, I can't say their chances are greater to make the playoffs or even go deeper in the playoffs.
Yeah. No question about that. A couple of minutes left, Carlo. I want you to react to, and we talked about it earlier on the show. I want your perspective on this. Austin Matthews in the post-game remarks, too many passengers.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of those remarks being made in a public setting. I'm not so sure that's great for a captain to publicly call out his teammates. You want to go into a room and rally the troops behind closed doors. I got no issue with it, but I don't think that that didn't sit very well with me, and I'm not sure it sat very well with a lot of his teammates. Your perspective as a former NHL player.
Well, interesting choice of words to use after losing a game seven. And, you know, I think it's for Austin Matthews being in his first year where he was wearing the C and having to answer all the questions that John Tavares was used to answering. I think if he was to go back, he'd probably regret saying what he said. I think, you know, when you're a leader on the team, you have to lead with your play on the ice and have others follow. And it's one thing to say those things if you feel proud of the way you played. And I don't think any of the top players of the Maple Leafs could feel proud about the way they played in game seven. And I think it was a reflection on how the team played. So it's disturbing, you know.
20 seconds, Carl. 20 seconds.
Sorry?
20 seconds. We've got to wrap this up in 20 seconds.
Hello?
Carlo, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. We've only got about 10 seconds left. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So I just think that it was a poor choice of words by Matthews.
Anyways, Carlo, I apologize for having to cut you short, but my producer is giving me the maloquio, as they say. I'm sure you understand what that means, Carlo. Carlo Kuliakbo. Naz, last word.
See you next week. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.